Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are at the very top.
But it's still a long way to go.
No, we've made it.
You think so?
We've made it. Thanks in large part to our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein, to my right and your left.
That's right. Shecky, how are you?
I'm great. If I actually believed any of the words you said, the praises, you know, you only speak nicely about me on air, I found.
That is true.
Because the water cooler talk isn't so kind.
Anyway, listen, we gather every week.
Let us gather.
Let us pray.
Let us gather.
Like a flock.
For a good show.
To talk. good luck with all that.
We get together every week, Shecky, Chris, and myself, to talk comics, to basically get everybody listening up to speed. Basically, when they finish listening to the show, they are informed. They are ready to take on the world.
And
they can go out and make decisions.
About comic books.
About stuff.
About stuff.
Because they're in the know now.
Well, yeah. You know, we are professors for the masses about comicology, about pop culture, about movies, etc.
We let them know where it's at.
Exactly.
What it is. And all that.
You know what? If you want to be cool, you want to listen to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Having said that, let's start off. So every week, in case you're a new listener, every week we'll talk about new comics that are appearing on the newsstands today. This is Wednesday. So let us have a – do we got a sponsor here for us for Wednesday?
You know I do, Chris. This week I've rounded up for new this week sponsor by Captain Oktoberfest, whose powers include high charisma, loud talking, and the ability to forget an entire evening's events.
Yes, that is true. That
Captain
is true.
Oh, man, yeah.
Captain Oktoberfest. I like that.
Leave it to the Germans.
I've played that role a couple of times.
Yeah, I think we all have. Yeah.
One of my favorite roles.
Of many.
Of many.
Of many.
Yes, Oktoberfest is what? Today, October 1st.
It is, October 1st. Goodness. Yeah, already yet.
Papa, where did it go? That's an old German beer song.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's a song?
Where'd you learn it from?
Everyone makes a sound effect.
They were singing it in Munich.
Oh, yeah. That's true. You know what? I was in Munich for Oktoberfest at one point.
See, I was in Munich, but not for Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Oh,
so
that's
jealous.
Right. Yeah, well, you know.
I was never in Munich, so pity me.
And he's the German.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on here?
Come on. The Kraut's got to go home to the motherland.
Yeah. Fatherland. They call it the Fatherland.
The Fatherland.
Okay.
All right,
the Fatherland.
Listen, we are here. Let's not just reminisce about our trips
old Deutschland.
To the old Deutschland. Hey, you know what? I remember I was on a bus
I thought who's driving the bus?
I thought we weren't reminiscing
about
stories.
That's right. Okay,
continue the story. It's going to be a good story.
No. Listen, we are here to talk about comics, so let's talk about new this week. One of the things I want to talk about is New 52, DC is coming out with a line of comics again. They're going through once again with a bunch of number ones appearing on the newsstands today. And
that's because a few of them got canceled a while back.
A few of them got canceled, right? So now they're trying to reintroduce some new ones. And one of the new ones that they're introducing is Lobo.
Lobo.
Now, interestingly enough, Lobo was a really hot commodity back in like the 90s. Right?
Yeah, he was.
So it was kind of like people were comparing him to like Wolverine on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was like the main man, and he was killing everybody and doing all these crazy things.
Kind
of seems like a Deadpool-y weirdo.
Yeah, it was kind of a cross between Deadpool and Wolverine. Like he was supposed to be like a jokey kind of thing, and you know,
Dead Wolverine.
Deadverine.
Yeah,
Deadverine. Wasn't Deadverine? Wasn't
Poolverine? Benverine.
He was
a dancer, wasn't he?
Well, I think he's a dancer or a tap dancer or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Soft
listen, this was so this Lobo number one, which is by Cullen Bunn and Riley Brown, very interestingly enough, it actually starts with the old Lobo. So of course there's like an old Lobo and a new Lobo. It starts off with the old Lobo with his head cut off, clearly trying to tell the readers that the old Lobo is gone, don't expect to see him again. We have this now new Lobo, but I don't know if I'm a big fan of the new Lobo. This new Lobo, he's like, I don't know. He's all like, emotional, and he's dreaming of past loves and all this kind of non-Lobo-ish type stuff. Like, the old Lobo would just go around and killing people, right?
That's right, yeah.
And this Lobo,
no,
he's
sentiment
all,
in Lobo.
Yeah, right? So, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
All right, listen. Hong Kong Lobo, number one. Available at your local comic book shop today.
You know what? You know what? Probably the best part of this entire comic book is, though, Chris.
What's that?
I did give it a little perusing.
Yeah,
just a tiny tad. Is that there's some sort of Mike Tyson advertisement somewhere in there? That's part of Adult Swim. Which, if none of you know, like Adult Swim is kind of like the adult Cartoon Network out there,
right?
And
right.
They put a lot of like fake advertisements or faux advertisements. I don't know,
yes.
Like on their own,
yeah,
station,
yeah,
in between faux shows. But I saw that with just a big question mark. Mike Tyson. I don't even know what it's promoting.
It says the Mike Tyson Mysteries. So maybe Mike Tyson's going to become a detective.
I don't know. You know what? You know what they should do? The O.J. Simpson Mysteries.
Yes.
And yeah, and then speculate.
No mystery there.
No mystery,
yeah,
there. No.
All right.
The only other, I do want to very, very briefly talk about.
Briefly.
I wanted to very briefly talk about Godhead and Act One.
Godhead.
And this is kind of basically the DC's introducing now the new gods storylines in DC. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but of course, we have Apocalypse and Darkseid or Darkseid, if
Dark
that's how
Seed.
You prefer to say it. But I don't want to spend much time on it, but is in Godhead number one.
Hold on. That's also part of the DC new number
that's
one.
That's why I said there was a number of them this week.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, yeah,
wasn't listening. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'm used to it. It's okay.
God's Head.
You're like my students.
God.
Something's never changed, Chris.
Is that Goat Head? No, Godhead.
Godhead.
Number one, DC Comics, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Now, my next one up here, this is something that people have been clamoring about for a little while now. Marvel is, like, you know, DC is no stranger to trying to mix things up a bit. They canceled the entire old universe. They've created a whole new DC 52. And Marvel, they never quite got around to canceling everything, but they kind of changed things up a bit. And one of those big changes is occurring now, a little bit later. And this is with Thor being a woman.
A woman.
Changes.
Time,
yeah,
to make a change.
Changes.
Wow.
So
Marvel has changed.
Marvel has changed. Now, of course,
hold on.
Okay.
Catch me up to speed because I missed the press release.
Okay.
So is this Thor, like, changing into a woman, like a sex change type operation woman?
No, this
is pre-op or post-op.
So,
or did they just switch the guy for a girl?
Okay, so basically they're saying that the role of Thor,
yeah,
is like almost like an entity. Like,
it's interchangeable. Like, it's just it's a
like
character.
A Green Lantern.
Who,
kind like a Green of, Lantern. Kind Anybody yeah. can kind hold of. A Green Lantern.
So, what they're saying is that now basically the old Thor is no longer worthy of Mjolnir, or
so
however
you
say that.
So he can't pick the hammer up, right?
Mjolnir. I think it's Mjolnir.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, meow, meow.
Yeah, just like the commercial.
Basically, he can't seem to pick up Mjolnir anymore, and he's become unworthy.
Oh.
And, you know, so basically the old Thor is dead, and now
really,
there's going
like,
to be a new Thor.
Kind of like the original film, when he was unworthy in the middle of the film, and he was just a human with weird principles in life, and you know how he thought he was a
weird accent.
Yeah.
So now they're saying that there's
a ripped physique.
They're saying that there must always be a Thor, and at the last, I don't want to spoil it, but you know you're going to turn to the last page anyways. Last page, you see a female holding the hammer of Thor.
Was it Gwen Stacy?
It's not Gwen Stacy.
Oh
no!
Wow,
because she's blonde. So I first guess
top
of the tongue. You know,
top of the tongue.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I for one want to go on record and saying, I don't like it.
Okay, but you know what?
I like my Thor.
Manly?
Manly. And remember when Luca Brasi's practicing and he's got to go in and see
yes.
Don Vito Corleone, yeah, and he's practicing outside because and may all your children be masculine children.
So that's how you like your Thor.
Especially
your
the women.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
But you know what? Hold on. But let's just – we have to digress here
yeah,
for a second.
Let's digress.
I want to talk a little bit about this.
Okay, but hold on. So first of all, Marvel is not new at doing pranks or stunts like this.
Hold on.
I want to correct that.
Just
now I have another thing to say. I want to correct that afterwards.
Hold on.
First of all. You're in trouble now.
First of all, Iron Man has changed the gauntlet of who dons the Iron Man armor before.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America has changed who is Captain America before. There's Punisher has become a woman. There's Lady Deadpool. There's all different types of things going on here. So all they're kind of messing around with is the fact that this is a Norse god and there's Norse mythology. There's supposed to be some sort of previous canon involved here. And so because they're making it into a woman there, that seems to be a bigger change than any other change would possibly be. Right?
Yes, right. But at the same time, when Spider-Man in the Alter Universe, in the books I don't read, when he was a Hispanic.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. They're breaking down all the barriers they can.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
So a lot of big things as well as just gender change are happening. And now they have homosexual heroes and heroines, you know, making... So I'm just saying this isn't the first thing, and they're not... To say they're gimmicky or to say that they're just advertising or marketing sort of thing...
I don't think that... You know? I don't think that adding...
I wouldn't say that's right to say.
Well... Adding homosexuality into a comic book, I don't think that's a gimmick. However, I think that, you know, making a Thor female, I think that's a gimmick.
Like, nobody has any – when you create – okay, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
All right. When you create a superhero and you make him or her homosexual,
yeah,
I'm okay with.
Yeah.
When you create a superheroine, a female hero, and she's awesome, she's got great abilities and powers, and you know, that's awesome. It's when you start playing with everything and start, you know, making Thor a female and Wolverine gay.
Right.
You know,
this
is where I'm okay, what are we doing? Right.
Yeah,
like, I want my Thor, and I want my Wolverine Harry, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Who doesn't?
You know.
No, I hear what you're saying, and this is why I say it's a bit of a gimmick. Like,
right.
We all know, I mean, comics are rife with this kind of stuff. You know, if comic books were the type of soap opera, because really that's what they are, if they're the type of soap opera where these things actually lasted for a long time,
mm-hmm.
I'd say sure.
Yeah.
But you know what? Superman dies, he comes back. Batman gets his back broken, he comes back. Captain America, Steve Rogers comes back.
You're right. You're wrong, Crystal. You are wrong in a sense that the character outlives everybody. The character outlives us. You know, Spider-Man will be around 200 years from
long
now.
Long after we're around.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm saying is, so eventually Thor will revert back to a male.
Right. I sure hope so.
But, yes. But... On that same line, you know, all I have to say is a good friend of ours, you know, let's name drop, Ed Campbell,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's a good friend of the comic store, goes to all the conventions and stuff. He cosplays as Captain America, as lately, Thor, but also a Guardians guy, Lone Star.
Star-Lord?
Star-Lord. Yeah.
I love Lone Star's got great quesadillas.
Yeah.
Giddy-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he went, the last time he was Thor... He said how appalled he was because of the fan reaction. Instead of just people being happy that he was part of like a trendy thing,
mm-hmm.
it's Thor. They said, "Oh man, how do you feel that they made you a chick now?" Like they were razzing him about that. And he said, "Man, what's going on? Everything's deteriorated." Anyway,
all right. Listen,
anyway,
last book I want to talk about. So, anyways, so Thor number one as a female out on your newsstands.
Thor number one at your local comic book shop today.
All right, last book I want to talk about is you know, you gotta love Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, crime noir detective comics. The Fade Out number two comes in today. God, I just love Sean Phillips' paintings. I love his artwork on the inside. Great stuff. I highly recommend you go see it. Ed Brubaker's an amazing writer. Of course, he's the guy that's known for all the Winter Soldier stuff. Daredevil stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know what? Go out and check out his crime noir stuff. Amazing, amazing comic books there.
Ed Brubaker. You know, Daredevil should be better than he is right now, because in the Daredevil canon, you've had massive runs by Frank Miller and massive runs by Ed Brubaker.
But you know what? I'm very politely going to say that right now, Mark Waid's run on Daredevil is very good.
See, even there you go.
It's very, very good.
All right. Hey, Fade Out from Image Comics number two is available at your local comic book shop today, as are many, many other
at least
cool,
a thousand new ones coming
cool, great books. Check it out at your local comic book shop.
All right. What do you got up for the Hit Parade, Marty, for a little musical interlude?
I don't even know what this is, Chris, so you try and make of it what you will.
All right, let's hear it.
Of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's, every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, shitter law, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick.
What in the world was that?
I got the wrong song.
Man, it was just getting good. He was talking about his rhythm stick.
Hit me with your rhythm stick.
I don't want to talk about it. I got the wrong song. I fed the...
Hey, you know what? That's when having a trusty producer comes back to bite you in the butt, because I just put the song on that you asked for.
Okay. Anyway, all right, that is a great segue.
Well, yeah. For what? By the way,
into
industry news.
Industry news.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
All right. Let's.
All right, and we have a sponsor for industry news.
Yeah,
over
to make
here.
Us forget about that calamity. Industry yeah. news is brought to you by the Jack Kirby Estate, whose motto is "I invented it, you stole it, so let the litigation begin."
Oh, that is a great segue into our first topic here. Well,
the Hamilton Comic Con.
Yes.
No, we'll talk about Jack Kirby's and Marvel announcing a settlement.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. So
you found this story, Chris.
So basically,
what are they saying?
Okay. Well, let me read you a quick blurb here from
a blurb
from the internet here. It says Marvel and the family of Jack Kirby have amicably resolved their legal disputes and are looking forward to advancing their shared goal of honoring Mr. Kirby's significant role in Marvel's history. I guess what happened.
Beautiful.
So I guess what happened before. So the Kirby estate for years has been taking Marvel to court,
mm-hmm.
saying that he was the creator of, you know, half the Marvel universe kind of thing. And in the lower courts, they kept on ruling against the Kirbys. So they took it to the Supreme Court, and they've now they've somehow resolved their legal disputes.
Mm.
What I'm curious about it, though, is they have not actually come up with – they have not announced what the actual settlement
was. The details,
was.
But,
right.
But
right.
They did say there was a settlement. So in other words, Marvel actually did feel a little bit of pressure that they probably weren't going to necessarily win this – case that's been appealed to the highest court.
Yeah. Now, right. Now, okay, right. Marvel / Disney / Star Wars / Megalopolis Megalith.
Yes.
/ Rulers of the World. They obviously didn't give Jack Kirby, half of everything.
Full whatever.
You know, whatever.
They've been fighting for it.
The Jack Kirby estate.
Yeah.
So I would just be really, really interested to see what. I think all fans of comics, mm-hmm. purists of comics, people that have studied comics, anybody older than, let's say, 45 or 50 for sure, that grew up with Kirby and all that stuff, I think they feel a certain sense of vindication with the settlement. Guys, they don't the younger crowd are just so enamored with Stan Lee.
Yes.
And not to say that Stan Lee isn't an icon, because he is.
Absolutely.
But the way the current history of comics is presented, it's kind of laid at Stan Lee's feet.
Totally is.
And that's wrong. And all the old timers think it's wrong. And I think it's important that the newer people coming into comics realize that it wasn't just Stan Lee.
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's
right. Jack Kirby had a huge, huge part in this. And I hope part of this announcement and settlement is perhaps Disney's, actually in print and in some sort of educational process starts educating the masses that Jack Kirby
maybe
was.
Maybe from now on, instead of it saying characters created by Stan Lee, it'll say characters created by Stan Lee
or something
and Jack
like
Kirby.
That. Yeah. Right.
And you know what? And even if they get 1% of this royalty,
it's more
coming
than they
back
get
to
now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? 1% of the $300 million that Guardians of the Galaxy took in.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what, 30 bucks at least.
At,
right?
least.
At least. At least a cup of coffee.
Yeah, at least a cup of coffee.
Two cases of beer in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I'm happy. If the Kirby family is happy, I'm happy. And I'm just happy it's resolved.
Sounds like you're happy.
I'm happy.
That's good. Right. You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that that clearly Marvel is Marvel is out there and they're creating new properties for everybody, and even Captain Citrus is alive and well.
Oh, wait a minute! I didn't know Captain Citrus existed.
So Captain Citrus. So
who?
He's
a sour guy.
Some people like him.
I thought he was sweet.
Some people think he's kind of sweet and sugary.
Sweet and sour.
So Marvel's newest superhero is named Captain Citrus.
Captain Citrus.
Captain Citrus, away!
Yes.
Apparently he's part of the Naval Academy. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Ooh, tough crowd. Tough crowd. All right, listen.
Apparently, squirt stuff in your eye.
Is he a limey?
Oh. Listen, apparently draws his solar powers from the sun, and his secret headquarters is in the Florida orange grove. Now, if you're wondering what this is all about,
this Aunt Anita Bryant.
What?
Never mind.
I feel like that's something
that's
we
something
don't
went
know.
Way over my head. Anyways.
You probably don't want to know.
Yeah.
Anyways, listen. The Association of Florida Citrus Growers commissioned Marvel for the sum of $1 million to remake their own just 3-year-old version of Captain Citrus into a crime-fighting superhero type thing.
So hold on.
Okay.
This is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
You're telling me that the Florida Orange Growing Association.
Yes.
Growing.
Growering.
Yeah. I do drawings.
The growerings.
Yeah, Growing Association.
Yeah.
They came up with this superhero called Captain Citrus.
Right.
But it was lame ass.
It was terrible.
And cheesy.
Basically,
and terrible.
It looked like an orange with a superhero outfit on.
With a little cape.
Yeah, with a cape and like goggles.
So it looked like an M&M basically.
Kind of, yeah.
An orange M&M.
An orange M&M with
so they said, hey, this isn't working the way we wanted it to, Marvel.
Yeah.
Can you redo this for us?
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And so then they've come up with this like all powerful kind of, you know, basically, I don't know, like a Superman type character that draws his power from the sun, and he's Mr. Citrus.
Does he just like
citrus.
Squirt citric acid into people's eyes or what?
I didn't actually go into the details of what Captain Citrus's powers were all about. I just can't believe that. What I'm saying here is Marvel has become so popular and is so good at what they're doing that they're now coming around and saying, if you have a property and if you want to superheroize it,
we're for hire.
We will work on any of your property ideas and come up with some sort of superhero theme to it. And they're becoming the work for hire.
We need to call them and say, hey,
I think we should.
We need a comic culture superhero.
What happens when it's like fall and he's overripened? Does he have to like? Do they put them out to compost or what?
Well, you know what? It could be like a Doctor Who type thing where every year he gets regenerized into a different Captain Citrus.
Whoa! See, now that's intriguing. See, now I think we should be writing for this guy. We should be hired for $1 million. What's going on here?
I know. Well, they didn't consult us,
Captain Pitless.
Anyways.
I think you call it Seedless, but no. Captain
Seedless.
Pitts.
All right, listen. Yeah. So anyways, that's the story with Captain Citrus.
That is amazing and a terrible idea.
I know, really.
All right. Hey, Chris, I got to interject here while I have
the floor?
Yeah. The mic? Sure.
Yo, I got the mic.
I want you to lay down some beats.
I want to talk about the Hamilton Comic Con.
Oh, right.
A quick discussion about the Hamilton Con. For two reasons. One, it's a con.
Yes.
And two, I'm set up there and I wouldn't mind people coming to buy some crap.
Say hello.
Yeah. I mean, say hello. Right. Of course. The Hamilton Comic Con goes this Saturday, October the 4th.
Right.
At the Hamilton Convention Center downtown Hamilton.
Right. That's Summers Lane, right?
Yeah.
I believe it's something.
Yeah, well, it's right downtown. Right,
well, just for people who, if they wanted to get their GPS or something, I'm trying to help people out.
Of course, now you promised you'd be attending.
I will be attending. Yes.
Excellent, and so we'll check in. So will I.
Yep.
So
you'll find me at the Big B booth.
I believe the owners of Big B Comics are paying for me to be there for a full appearance for the day. Sign autographs and
yes,
yeah.
You might be lucky to get a coffee out of it, Chris.
For the Southern Ontario area, I believe it's the last con of the year, and in terms of it being a pop culture con,
yes.
Now I know there are a few one day cons popping up in the Toronto area that are pure comics,
right?
So there are little hotel rooms, just comic dealers, for the comic.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, they're great for the comic purists. But if you're listening to the show and you enjoy pop culture, you know, per se, events.
Right.
This is a great place to head down to. I think tickets are relatively cheap. I think they're
like $30
20,
or something?
25.
And you can get a lot of celebrity signings and sightings that aren't just comic book related or something. I mean, a lot of these one day shows are really just driven for the market of buying comics, buying toys, collectibles, video games. Yeah. But this will actually have celebrities, Lou Ferrigno,
it'll
Power
be a pretty
Rangers,
cool event.
Everyone's going to be there. Yeah.
It'll be good. So we're encouraging everybody in listening radius to head down to the local comic book con. That is the Hamilton Comic Book Con this Saturday, October 4th.
Nice. Now,
all right, I got the plug in.
Good man. Now, Lou Ferrigno is going to be there.
Yeah.
And Julie Newmar. Now you were mentioning to me before the show. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about what's happening with Lou Ferrigno.
Oh yeah, I'm tight with Lou.
All right, tell me what's going on with Lou Ferrigno.
I have no idea.
Oh,
won't talk to me that man. I think Friday, if you're in the Hamilton area, Friday at 11 a.m. at the Central Police Station.
Yeah, down on
Wilson
Street. Yeah.
Hey, I've been there a few times before.
Me too. they're swearing Lou in as a honorary officer.
Oh, nice, nice.
And Lou's going to go and show them, I think, how to, you know, do some curls.
Nice.
And then they're going to give him some probably French fry curls or something. I don't know what they're going to give him. But Lou can eat. Like, Lou has to support that
girth. You know,
we've seen him.
Still
we
massive.
Saw him last year at Montreal. Not this Montreal con, which
he's
was a
big.
Few weeks ago.
Yeah, he is.
But the year before, we both ran into him in the foyer with the promoters of the show. He's massive.
Yeah, he really
still
is.
Towers us by a few inches.
Yeah.
He's still
yeah.
probably 8 car lanes wider than both of us combined. He's huge.
Well, I mean, he knows where, you know, he keeps himself in shape because he's making a living.
This is his livelihood.
Yeah. I remember seeing him a lot at the Detroit
shows.
And I remember I was at the same restaurant as him, and I saw him eat the biggest salad I've ever seen anybody eat. It was almost like he had this whole salad bar to himself.
That's disappointing, though, listening to hearing Lou eat a salad.
I know, but it's...
I was hoping you'd say the biggest steak.
No.
Hey, Chris, you've seen Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
When Elaine...
salad.
I need a big salad.
That's
no,
right.
They don't have a big salad.
Well,
I need a big salad.
He ate a big salad.
I need the Ferrigno salad.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. Speaking of Ferrigno salads, do you have a song that can...
Oh, I got
go
a big
with...
musical interlude that tops the last one, which was a false positive on the musical interlude.
All right, let's hear it.
All right.
Shecky,
hey, how you doing?
When I asked you for the song from the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, Hooked on a Feeling. This was not the one I was hoping.
You mean the complete original is not the one you were looking
no.
for?
No.
The best version of that song?
Yeah.
I wanted the
what are you doing?
I wanted the Ooga Chaka.
And
ooga,
Hooked on
ooga,
a
ooga.
Feeling.
I wanted that one.
We're paying homage to the originators. Look at you. Like the wannabe trendsetter who's just catching on to pop culture and new
wannabe.
Things of today.
That's what I'm doing, just catching on to things.
Well,
yeah.
Who invited this guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Hey, do we have a paying sponsor for
probably
this?
From, you know, well, it's probably the original paying sponsor. He's paying out in gold doubloons. Yeah.
We got something like that for Industry News Part 2. Sponsoring by the Hamilton Comic Con, where you can find Lou Ferrigno and Vern Troyer, a.k.a. Mini-Me, as equals.
All right, listen. Yeah. Speaking of equals.
No one?
You know what's not equals?
No?
You know what's not equals? You know, superheroes, they often have sidekicks, right?
Yes.
So I was reading Newsarama.
Yeah, like especially the ones that know karate.
That's very true.
Yeah. Sidekick.
No, or they just know how to make one-liner jokes. So, like, I'd be a great sidekick, right, Walt?
Okay.
Only if Walt had a TV show.
Yeah.
And like they say, he's got a face for radio. Anyways, listen. no comment there, Walt?
I'm smiling with my braces here.
Listen, Newsarama had this interesting article about the top 10 sidekicks of all time. Now, I know you already read it, so I can't quiz you on it.
I didn't read it.
Okay, so.
Why would I read it?
That's a great question.
Trust me. You didn't want to read it.
So. You know what? The first one is number 10. Okay, first of all, you know, I'm going to ask you. Who do you think just name a couple of sidekicks.
I have a question, first of all.
Okay.
Can it be a villain sidekick?
No.
Are any of them
villains? This is meant to be just
so it's superhero sidekick.
Well, actually, there's kind of 1/2 villain sidekicks.
Okay.
So 1/2/3/4.
I got it. I already know what the best one is.
Okay, who's the best one?
Arthur from The Tick.
Arthur, you know what? Interestingly enough, so Arthur from The Tick, before Newsarama had the 10 best sidekicks, he was in the top 10 worst sidekicks.
Nice.
So what you're saying is, I'm a winner of the losers.
You're a winner, but not of the losers. Yes, exactly.
All right.
You picked out the best of the losers.
Huh. So do I get another shot?
Sure, go ahead.
I only know one other sidekick, though.
Okay, who is it?
Robin.
Okay, well, he's number one.
So because the most basic people in the world who know nothing about comic book superheroes pick him, he's obviously going to get the most votes, is what you're saying.
He's also kind of the best.
All right, continue.
Okay, start me from the top, Chris.
Okay, so number 10.
And tell me who the hell these people are.
Okay, so
great
question.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Dex Star.
Yeah, Death Star.
That's Dex with an X, not Death. Although I think Death Star would have been great. So Dex Star is
Death Star.
Is like a rodent type. He's one of the Red Lanterns and apparently goes around killing people.
Bad,
the DC universe,
bad guy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Number 9, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen
really
is. Okay,
yeah.
that makes a little
bit
of sense.
He is a great sidekick.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Number 8, you know what? I don't agree with this one. Lockheed the Dragon from Kitty Pride. She had the little pet dragon.
Uh-huh.
Apparently people love that stupid little dragon, so you know what?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. Okay, right. Number 7, Rick Jones.
Rick James?
She's a very kinky girl.
Now you gotta go higher on the girl.
I'm Rick James!
Yeah.
Gotta go higher on the girl. Kinky girl!
Sorry, I can't go high.
Did you ever see when, what's that guy?
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. Does
it's pretty good.
All right, listen. So Rick Jones.
Rick Jones.
Remember, Rick Jones was one of like the...
Who the heck's Rick Jones?
Rick Jones was a Marvel sidekick for the Avengers.
The Hulk, wasn't he?
The Hulk, mainly, yeah. So he was around in the Hulk.
He's some kid.
He's basically some guy that's kind of hung out a bit.
Yeah.
Just some guy. Freeloader.
Okay, who's next?
Number 6 is the Newsboy Legion.
Oh, Jack Kirby, Newsboy Legion.
Is that more than one guy then? It's a legion?
Yes, actually,
of kids.
They talked about that. Yeah. They talked about the fact that it doesn't have to be just one person. It was actually a bunch of kids.
You didn't tell me that to be good. I would have picked them as my first pick.
You've never even heard of them.
You're right. their news, their newsboyness doesn't spread very well.
I like that. Your newsboyness.
Yeah.
Number 5 was Bob.
Bob.
Agent of Hydra.
Bob, Agent of Hydra.
No, so Bob.
I don't know who that is.
Bob, Agent of Hydra, is a relatively new sidekick in the Deadpool series.
Oh, I see.
And he's basically like a Hydra agent that kind of
just hangs out.
Hangs out, yeah. Nice.
A lot of hanging out.
Helps Deadpool every once in a while. Number four is Hit Girl.
Hit me with your rhythm stick.
Hold on.
Hit Girl.
That's
Hit
not a
girl.
Sidekick.
Well, Kick Ass is the.
I've seen the films.
Yeah, well, Kick Ass is the
I've
guy.
I've heard of the comics. She's like the most badass of the two of them.
But,
how is she a sidekick?
But the movie's not called Hit Girl.
Yeah, it's called Kick Ass.
Oh, so you can be your own whoever you want to be, unless it's not your film title, in which case you're a sidekick.
Pretty well.
All right, continue.
That's the way it goes.
All right.
Number three. Now, I actually believe number three should be number two or even number one.
Look at you.
Number three is Bucky.
Bucky.
Captain America's Bucky.
Oh, right.
Oh,
Bucky.
Yeah.
That Bucky.
Spoiler alert.
Who
Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier.
Right,
now,
okay.
I really believe he should be neither number one or number two. I can see why number one is number one.
Especially now after the two Captain America films.
Exactly.
Yes.
The success of Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
But, you know, again, I pegged number one, and that makes too much sense.
However,
but anyway,
I do see why they picked number two as to be number two.
Who's that?
And that's Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Hold on. I asked you if villains.
I said yes.
I said yes for a couple.
I said for a couple. And that couple would have been Dexter.
I thought you said no.
I said no, and I said, oh, actually, there is one. Maybe
said
two.
Yes, no, maybe. You got to learn to read the signals.
You know
properly.
What?
See, you've known Chris for so long.
Yes.
You can tell when he's lying through his teeth. He still builds me up just to break me down.
Okay, so number two, so Harley Quinn, I thought was a very interesting choice.
See, she was the one I would have guessed. If I would have
and rightfully so,
and rightfully
because
so,
she's
yeah.
huge right yeah. now. Like she's at the peak of what she's become.
Yep, she is very extremely popular.
She's at the peak, Chris, of what she's become.
Yeah,
and what exactly is that?
I'm not sure, but
the pinnacle.
All right,
I love her peakness.
Yes.
Listen, you love her peaks, too?
I do love her peaks. Number one is, of course, Robin.
The Robin.
Right, Robin.
Yeah. Now, that's a great list. It's an interesting list. I was fortunate enough to get a list to email to me because on sidekicks that never worked.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They were actually tried.
Really?
They actually made the boardroom.
Okay.
And they're actually artists. They sit around and go, hey, guys, I got this new sidekick. And then they actually did a few comics, kind of layouts and stuff for them.
Okay, yeah.
And these never worked. I'm going to go through them. Some of them are pretty lame.
Let's see what they are.
I already have a question. Is one of them Shecky, the third wheel who never gets a dinner?
No.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
Not yet. Yeah.
Although he should have been one that never works.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
For example, Iron Fist. They came up with a sidekick called Crisco. But they didn't know how to write it in.
So, hold on.
They didn't know how to write that.
So, on the title of the book, what does it say? Iron Fist and Crisco?
Yeah, Iron Fist and Crisco.
Man, sounds like my Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah. Cyclops had a sidekick named Unicorn Man.
Oh. Well,
I never really figured that out, but.
It's true.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're not all winners, Chris. They're not all winners. That's for sure.
Clearly, they are not.
Batwing had a sidekick named Wingman.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
He helped him out a lot, apparently.
Yeah.
But that never worked. Buffy had a sidekick named Shiny.
Were they, you know, by night, Buffy. They were superhero vampire slaves, but by daytime, they were shoe shiners.
I don't know what they were, but
Buffy and Shiny.
Buffy and Shiny. But that never made the cut.
You know what? I love Shiny. Yeah.
They were Thor. They're trying to write in MC Hammer as a sidekick.
Oh, that would have been great.
But that didn't work. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where.
You know what?
I don't know where they were going
with
that.
I'm only
going
to say that's the best one yet just because I love Hammer. You know?
Yeah.
It's too legit to quit.
No, Spider-Man, they came up with a sidekick named Sticky Sam. That basically would go, but the problem is it never worked because he'd always get stuck in Spider-Man's webs.
Yeah,
they called him Sticky Sam as a name,
he'd
as a sidekick
like a
name.
He ended up
slowing Spidey down.
Yeah,
and
you know what? They should come up with someone who like cleans up after Spider-Man because all those cobwebs they really get all over the place.
Yeah, you know, and that's right. Yeah. I mean, hey, Wolverine had a sidekick.
Oh,
they wrote in Honey Badger as his sidekick.
Honey Badger. I love
Hi, Wolverine. I'm Honey Badger.
Nice. I like that.
Hey,
like
did you know Wolverine's favorite candy bar?
No.
Snickers.
Whew, tough crowd.
Hello?
Tough crowd.
Hey, this thing on?
Hey, Walt, did your 12-year-old tell you that?
Huh? Snick it.
I bet he did, too. Yeah.
Hold on. I got more sidekicks you probably guys don't want to know.
No,
Groot
sure.
had a sidekick.
Groot did.
Yeah, named Chip. Hello?
I'm still thinking about what you just said.
Thank goodness we have a couple more. Power Girl had a sidekick named Wonder Bro.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
Wonder Bro, he helped the Power Girl out when he could.
Yep, uplift things.
Yeah, he kept things up on his end.
Upholding
and Chew.
Chew.
Chew. You know that Chew?
Comic book Chew.
Yeah, he had a sidekick, a guy named Baca.
Oh, yeah.
The guy kind of sounded like this.
Like a seal out of water.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I had to work that in somehow.
Yeah, I like
Chris.
That.
I had to work
good.
That
yeah.
in somehow.
You know what? Those are great, great, terrible sidekicks.
Yeah, so those were sidekicks. Yeah. Those were 10 sidekicks. Yeah. Unfortunately,
that,
never
That's
made
some
them.
Great detectiving over there, Walt.
Well, no, I was lucky. There was a guy. I had inside sources, and I got this email to me. So
good for you.
All right, listen. Yeah. You know what? I think that is a great time for a quick musical interlude. And let's.
And I think we saved the best for this right now.
I think
on
so.
A high note, we're going to hit some Krantz.
Finally. Yeah.
Chris, nothing hits it. Nothing
you know
hits at home like Krantz.
You gotta
nothing.
Love the Krantz.
Gotta love Krantz. Nothing. You know, it's October 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather's
already.
Turning.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. The leaves are turning yellow.
I know. It's craziness.
And my grass is turning yellow.
Yeah. You know what? Because of all the leaves.
Yeah. Because of all the leaves.
Yeah.
And that dog next door. That son of a son of a bitch.
Hey, you can say that on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
really
with
the
dog,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. Krantz just hits the spot.
Listen,
and it's a great segue into the next portion of industry news.
What do we have a sponsor for the next portion of industry news there, Smarty?
Absolutely. So going into our overtime sponsor, which is, you know, we really hit the field goal when we get these overtime
it's true.
Sponsors.
It's very true.
Yeah. Brought to you in part by Superhero Sidekick Hotline. If you feel inferior to your number one and you have never been heard of before, call us and don't opt out.
It's true. It's very true.
Don't opt out.
Opt out.
You know, that's like a very finicky, you know, sideline for, you know, kicking
well,
the
what
bucket.
I've learned is
kicking
checking each time to write these things.
All right, listen, you know what? So, hey, you know what? I have been watching The Flash. Sorry, I've been watching Arrow.
Watch me!
And as of next week, The Flash and The Arrow are going to start up their new seasons, and I can't wait to see them. I got to tell
Hold
you.
Hold on. That's like, is that one series?
No. So there's Arrow and The Flash are two different series.
TV series.
TV series. The Flash is going into their first season, and Arrow is going into their third.
Okay.
Gotham is in its first season, and I just watched the second episode a couple nights ago.
Uh-huh.
You saw that? I saw the first. I saw both the season openers of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. I have yet to see the second episodes from last night and Monday night.
What did you think about the first episodes for both those?
I thought, you know what? S.H.I.E.L.D. continued off right where it should be, and it kept some characters reoccurring that maybe people thought weren't going necessarily.
Yeah.
Which is good, because they played a major pivotal role in the first season.
Yeah.
They introduced another villain, which is great, and they got right back at it, even though, because, I mean, if you've seen Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and if you saw S.H.I.E.L.D., you don't really know the state of things. I don't want to spoil things too much.
No, I understand.
You don't know the state of things, but you know what? It got right back at it. It's continuing.
Yep.
It's got a storyline that, you know, for this season, it's just an under the radar sort of season,
as
it were, right? So it seems very cool. As for Gotham, you know what? I was intrigued by the fact that they decided, hey, instead of being like Marvel Shield and they're all pussyfooting around characters and not spoiling and appearing big characters, so some very C-list, D-list stars, hey, here's three A-list stars from the Batman series. Here they are, being younger than you've ever seen them before.
Yeah.
Deal with it. And this is their lives. It's just a very blunt trauma.
Different take.
Here they are, all mingling together. Watch them evolve over the season.
You know what? I completely agree with what you're saying. I liked the first episode. I really enjoyed of Gotham. I think I liked the first episode of Marvel more.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the second episode of Marvel yet this season. I did, however, see the second episode of Gotham, and I thought Gotham. You know what? The problem with Gotham is, we know these characters so well already that it's going to be difficult for them to make them interesting again. Because we already know Penguin, we already know Riddler, we already know Catwoman. How are they going to make them interesting?
Spoiler alert, those are the ones that have been dropped.
Well, just so they know. If you didn't see the trailer, you knew that from the trailer already, right? So, I don't know. I thought the second episode was
You know, let me ask
great.
You guys something, okay. though. Let me ask you guys. So, Gotham.
Yep.
Arrow.
Yep.
And
Flash.
Are they all on the same network?
No.
I think they're all spread out.
They're all spread out. You know what?
All three. Because what I was asking, what I was wondering, if it would be crossovers.
No, because you know what? Arrow and the Flash are on the CW network,
which is WB.
Like,
I think
it's like the
right?
old WB.
Yeah, Warner.
I think Gotham is.
But the two of them might because
they do for sure. So
Green Arrow was on Smallville. Arrow was on Smallville, and then it turned into Arrow.
So,
and I feel Flash has the same feel as Arrow.
So speaking of which, so actually, and that's my point for this whole
talking
about. Oh, you have a point?
I do. Episode 8.
Sure does. Top of his head.
Episode 8 of each of these shows of Arrow and the Flash is going to have a crossover.
Oh.
And that's never.
It's almost like I've called it.
That's never really been done with two strong shows. They've had crossover characters like the Arrow and Aquaman has been in Smallville and that kind of thing. But two shows, I don't remember that ever happening before, except for possibly back when $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman. But I don't even think they crossed over. I think Bionic Woman was in the $6 Million Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
I'm gonna tell you what, Sci-Fi Channel, straight out of the US, all their shows, their rinky dink small inner circle, they all cross over all the time.
Do they
really? Yes, Chris.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, well,
that's a great idea. Yeah. And Arrow and Flash would be wonderful if they crossed over and they helped each other.
Now, there's going to this is a bit of a spoiler alert. So if you want to hear about the one of the big new villains coming in for this crossover, don't listen for the next 10 seconds. But it's going to be the Pied Piper. Which I thought was a very strange villain, but I'm sure they're going to make it cool somehow.
Yeah, the Pied Piper. He's going to carry a flute?
And he must have to, right?
Jethro Tull as the Pied Piper.
Does he get rats to attack people?
That's how they kind of
What's
did
his
the
skill?
Comic.
What's
yeah.
his skill?
Yeah,
oh, is that?
So
I don't even know who this character is,
plays
but I already
music.
Guessed
yeah.
his power.
Well, you nursery rhymes.
You know what? You know what's great about The Flash? And I've always said this about The Flash.
Hickory Dickory Dock, Walt.
Anyways, he's there, Andrew Dice Clay. Best thing about The Flash is that The Flash is a sort of an ordinary character, but, man, all the villains around The Flash are awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, so more, just very briefly, more on videos and Marvel and DC movies and stuff like that. Guardians of the Galaxy DVD is coming out. They have already set a release date of Tuesday, December the 9th. And they've not talked a lot about the deleted scenes and all the extras, other than the fact that there will be a commentary by the director, James Gunn.
Okay, so I'm one of the seven people in North America that have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm excited to see it. I actually want to see it. Apparently, it's good.
It's it is good.
Yeah.
It
is good. So,
people that don't know anything about it like it. You know, people like my wife. She was not a comic book reader, and she thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, she watches stuff like Big Brother.
She likes Big Brother, but she also likes. I've kind of gotten her into all the comic book stuff as well. So she really, really enjoyed Guardians of the
Galaxy. When you watch Big Brother, anything else is a shift. Okay,
It's true.
Yeah.
Now, true. Guardians are – okay, I know when these things come out, they add scenes and all that kind of crap and stuff like that. So they doing that with this too? There's like editor's cuts and all that stuff.
I'm sure there will be, but they haven't announced it yet. Uh-huh. All they've announced is that it is coming out on December 9th.
All the superhero films, once they release on Blu-ray, DVD, they add a lot of bonus features. So you might get some deleted scenes. You're going to get a whole bunch of background.
Do they get bloopers?
Maybe some interviews.
They get bloopers.
They always get bloopers,
They get
right?
bloopers, and once in a while...
The best bloopers are always the Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Oh, they're so...
They're awesome.
Like Rumble in the Bronx. Yeah.
The Jackie Chan bloopers are awesome.
When you would see him actually like roll his ankle and break his foot, and then he puts on that like that rubber shoe that pretends like it looks like a normal shoe.
I know.
Yeah. So he can run, but with a cast on, it looks
wonderful.
Like a shoe on his
foot. Or, you know what? Okay, Shecky's too young, but maybe you.
But remember,
the old Dean Martin and Dom DeLuise, the old gumball rallies and stuff like that?
Oh,
they used to have...
I used to love those bloopers.
They used to have the bloopers at the end there.
That was Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run,
I used to love those bloopers.
Oh, they were awesome. Yeah. All right.
You know
Dean Martin was in one of those. Dean Martin and Sammy Davis,
great.
They were driving. I think they had like an alcohol dispenser.
I loved it. You know what? I learned so much from those guys. You know what? It's such a stupid little thing, but I remember Dean Martin, he was all drunk, and he was talking about how Sammy Davis, he's like, Sammy, you're small, S-M-all. That just broke me up.
They were ambulance drivers, right there, and they had like all the medicine and stuff.
And they were driving around. What's that? The guy that always played the drunk.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Forrest.
Christopher
Lloyd. No. He was
Forrest Gump.
I can't remember his name.
Hi, I'm Forrest Gump.
Anyways, great stuff. Listen, we're running out of time here.
Walt. No, we're not.
We are. We only got a few minutes left. You wanted to talk about
comics are like a box of chocolates.
You wanted to talk about William Shatner.
When you open it up, you never know what you're going to get inside. Huh?
William Shatner.
Sorry. Oh, Shatner, yes. Hey, very exciting to see that apparently Bill Shatner, William, as you and I call him Bill, he's going to perhaps be in the new Star Trek III, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek III. He's going to have a role in it. And apparently he said on some sort of website that he says he would be delighted to do it.
Nice.
Now, that is cool.
Foster Brooks, by the way. That was the guy who was thinking of.
Foster Brooks, yeah.
The famous drunk.
Remember on the 12 Days of Christmas where they had all the...
I was completely not talking about
12
Shatner.
Days of Christmas, it was like Richard Burton goes, 5 golden rings, and... And then Walter Cronkite, 4 super newsmen, 3 G.I. Joes, and it was 2 Casablancas. And then Foster Brooks wrote the whole song is trying to go, Adipa, 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 Adipa. And then at the end he goes, Adipa, it was a big bird. So what were we talking about before?
William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Speaking
so
of-
old Bill.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get a good gig in the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek III.
Right.
Which is awesome. Can you imagine
the
old Kirk?
Like how are they going to write him in? It seems like it's being thrown at him, though. Like,
and why do they want him?
Why
they want
him have him in that?
But you know what? Okay, so here's the thing. So William Shatner has realized he has become Shatner.
Yeah.
He's bigger than life.
He is bigger than life.
He is a character unto himself, right? And I think now he's just riding the wave, man.
Like, so what they got to do, Chris, come on.
Make him into a villain?
No, they got to make him into a kind of like a – they got to play on the old Kirk Shatner thing.
Yes.
They got to have old Bill going into a geriatric ward there and hitting on the old gals. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't that be great?
You know what I'm saying, though? They have to have Kirk,
hitting
on the girls and saying – teaching the young guy a few tricks and all that kind of stuff,
that'd
right?
be awesome,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, because the reputation for Trekkies is that, you know, the old Kirk was a ladies' man stuff, and
he could beat the Kobayashi Maru.
I'm excited because I'm a big Shatner fan.
Yes, you know, me too.
Yeah. And you know what? You take me to a con and you have the guy with the bald head. What's his name?
Kojak.
Kojak.
Kojak?
Who loves you, baby? Hey, who loves you, baby?
Patrick Stewart.
Hey, Mr. Savalas, I'm not going to give you my $20 until you say, who loves you, baby? Get out of here, kid. You bother me. Get away from me, kid. The hell's the matter with you?
So. I would pay you money to go up to Patrick Stewart and with a picture of Kojak and ask him to get to ask him to
hold on. It. We've said this story once. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say the Jill Gerard story once again for the new
listeners. Oh, Jill Gerard.
You know, speaking of morons, okay? So you'd pay me. You already did this. So, of course, Jill Gerard was a Buck Evans.
Buck Evans. I don't know who Buck Evans is. Buck Rogers. Man.
Buck Rogers, sorry. Yeah. So Jill Gerard was Buck Rogers in the 70s. And, of course, if you're Canadian, you remember Second City TV. I'm going to do this really quickly. And Brian Lanahan used to be on City TV, and he used to be this pretentious kind of avant-garde film critic, right?
Yes.
And he would, you know, just all the right things. And so Brock Lanahan was his parody on Brian Lanahan. Played by Martin Short. No, it was played by Flaherty.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was Martin Short. Okay.
And it was Bob Hope. Bob Hope was played by Thomas.
Dave Thomas, yes.
Yeah, you're right. Martin Short played Brock Lanahan. So Martin Short played Brock Lanahan, and Dave Thomas played Bob Hope. And the pretentious Brock Lanahan goes, "Oh, so Mr. Hope, your favorite actors of all time, right? like Olivier, Brando, and Bob Hope, you know, the hick. I kind of like that kid, Jill Gerard." And then, you know, Brock Lanahan's like, doesn't know, he's like sourpuss mouth, doesn't know what to say, he's like speechless. So, you know, my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, sees Jill Gerard at a con.
Detroit con.
And he thinks it's a great idea to go tell them this story. Oh, my God. I go, Chris.
Replayed the whole SCTV skit.
I go, you realize you just insulted the man, don't you? So how, I forget, how did he react?
He actually laughed. That was pretty funny. He was good natured about it.
Sure was.
Happy to get some kind of recognition.
You know what? At those shows, so this is years ago, at those shows, signatures were free if you wanted to buy a photograph.
They just needed somebody to talk to.
They just wanted somebody to talk to. Yeah, like, it was a completely different era back then. It was a long time ago, easily 10 years ago. You know, he was fun to talk to, and I don't know what to tell you.
I remember it was an old con. It was a Toronto con, and Walter Coing was at the show. And Chekhov.
Yeah.
And it was dead, and he was checking off over there. So he's just walking around, and he came to our booth.
Didn't he spend a long time at your booth?
Yeah, and we're chit-chatting with him, and I don't know. And then the more on me, so I just, you know, because I was young back then.
Right.
Young and virile and full of vim.
Full of something.
Yeah. And I go, Walter, so like Uhura, man, like, did you like ever get caught looking at her breasts?
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, and or something like that to
that's
that nature.
Phenomenal.
And like literally 10 seconds after that, he left our booth.
I can't imagine why.
Was it something I said?
You know what? I remember I was at a Chicago Comic Con once, and I ran into Sulu, whatever his name. What's it? With,
Sulu. George Takei.
George Takei.
Yes.
And I waited in line for. He had just arrived at his booth, and he was, at this time he was trying to peddle his new book. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun just to go up and get my picture taken with him.
Sure.
So I did, and then he's like, "Would you like to buy a copy of my book?"
Yes.
No. I just left, and I kind of felt bad about it.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
you crushed the bag.
I know. But he had a big line of people, so it was always
okay. You know, don't worry, Chris, because nowadays it costs you $80 just to get the photo with
it's
him.
It's so true. Yeah. Different era.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know what? Geez, you know, all this reminiscing, we've run out of time.
Where does
here.
The time go, Chris?
Reminiscing.
So, Walt, go ahead.
Hey, comic culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer, engineered by Chris Owen. You can always hear us at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com.
Possibly.
And you will definitely be seeing us at the Hamilton Comic Con this weekend. So come by and say hi.
All right. Listen. Please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful day and read lots of comics.